guys, welcome back to another episode of Tribe of Unicorns. I'm Kendra Beavis, and I am here today with Lion Flood. How are you doing today?
I am beyond excellent, so I appreciate that. Thank you.
Now, you are a content coach. What does that actually look like?
So picture when speaking in conversations and being in public first started, everyone was so afraid of public speaking, right? Then all of a sudden, virtual started to happen.
Yes.
And people didn't know how to show up on screen. They didn't know where to put their hands. Should I smile? Should I stare at the camera? So that's what I do. I work through and show people how to navigate and be more relaxed on camera and engaging and engage with their listeners and viewers.
And where are you located in the world?
I am in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Recently moved from Las Vegas, Nevada. So it's a big difference.
Oh, nice. I love South Carolina. My sister lives down there. Cool. So how did you come to be a content coach? What is your journey like?
So originally, I'm a retired Marine. And I like to kind of start with that first, because it's one of the small changes that my wife and I have been working to do. And within my content and my podcast, it's called Redesign Your Life. So I speak on redesigning our thinking. So for a small example, most people tell a veteran, thank you for your service. Mm-hmm. But when you ask them, they don't know why they say it. They say it just simply because it's probably been said for many years, right? If you think about it, most people like, yeah, why do I say that? Just because I heard it. And so what we've been working to do is reframe that saying to tell a veteran, thank you for your sacrifice, right? Mm. Because as veterans, we sacrifice so much more than we serve. And that's kind of how my journey started. When I got injured in the military, I was laid in the hospital bed. I had to learn to rewalk. And then I had to learn to rethink. How am I going to work again? How am I going to, you know, I had 4 knee surgeries, 3 back surgeries, and the list goes on. But I was forced to relearn and rethink my business, everything in life. And so that's kind of how that journey started beginning for me to get into a content coach. I had to relearn that maybe I couldn't move as fast, or as, you know, I couldn't dance on on screen or something. So how can I be more engaging with my content on my screen? And so that's kind of how it started. I was forced into that.
How were you injured?
My knees initially in a Humvee accident, it flipped over, and then it just kind of got progressively worse from that. And when the Humvee came down, my knee smashed my dashboard, tore meniscus, tore some other things in there. And then that's how everything else spun into place. Then I'm trying to rehab. And as a Marine, we don't give up. So my knees are hurting, but I'm still going to run. Then my back started hurting because of that. And so I had to listen to my body and say, look, you need to calm down. So I said, okay, body, let's do that.
That's an incredible point in your life, I would imagine, where you kind of, you had a choice to maybe look at that as a major, it sounds like you looked at it like an opportunity rather than looking at what it was taking away from you. Can you talk a little bit about that mindset that you had to take on?
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those things that when, you know, like we work to teach my son, for an example, right? Things are going to happen to you in life. It's under your control. So you can either crumble when it happens, or you can reassess it. You can take a breath and say, okay, I'm here. Almost like when you maybe get on a highway, right? And you're about to get on a freeway, and all of a sudden you're on that overpass and you see the traffic and there's no turning around. You got to go forward. And at least say, let me try to get to the next exit at least and take the surface streets, right? You're there. So there's no crying about it. Just go ahead and take a deep breath, reassess it, find out how you can take advantage of it, or sit there and cry and let other people continue passing you by. And so that's kind of where my mindset was. I was like, you know, I've got to adjust. I can't run any longer. I can't stand as long as I used to. I can't be at the cash register or, you know, carrying items to the next convention or whatever. So let me refocus. Can I take my business and put it online? Can I then adapt it to the social construct of what's going on right now? And so, yeah, that's where it kind of all in essence began.
What were your first steps to getting online? Because I saw a lot of businesses, especially through COVID, kind of see an opportunity to help other people do something that they were very good at. So what was your process like with that?
Yeah, my wife and I, we were just talking about this kind of maybe last week, and because we're working on starting a new program. And it was for me, and this is what I tell my students, start ugly, right? Do not analyze. I think they call it analysis by paralysis.
Yes. Right?
You overanalyze so much. It's got to be perfect. It's got to, no, it doesn't. Just start. Then get the momentum going. Baby steps, though. Chunks. When we first started going into podcasting is what we did. We started in a pandemic and we call it a pandemic podcasting kind of thing, right? We just bought a mic. We had no idea what we were doing. But what we found is that by doing that, we started speaking to each other without speaking to each other. We started speaking in the podcast as we were talking to the audience. I was like, oh, babe, I didn't know, you know, you did that or you thought that. Like, oh, yeah. And then we talked about it and we grew from that. So I just say, start ugly, research a little bit, yes, but do not try to make it perfect. Like, I have the perfect title, keep it simple. I see people come up with titles that are so brilliant, but then their audience is like, what does that mean? Because they're trying to make it like so special. No, just keep it simple. But yeah, that's how we started getting on. We just got a mic. We said, let's get a laptop that was fuzzy and a webcam. And eventually we said, we like this. Let's invest in better equipment. And then we went from there.
How have you found your marketing process to work? How have you reached the audience that you were trying to find?
Yeah, that is a very, I don't want to say long process, but it is a intensive process because we don't know who we're speaking to directly, right? We don't know who our content, we don't know who we're making videos for, but then we have to let our wall down and ask. I started asking people, hey, what do you like about me? What do you like about what I'm doing? People are like, you're humorous. You're fun. Oh, okay. So maybe I should make content around that and incorporate it, if anything. I asked my audience, I asked my listeners, they'll tell you, right? They'll tell you, well, you know, that last episode or that last video you put out or what, that was too long. And I'm talking too much. Yeah. Let me kind of narrow it down a little bit. And so that's how I started learning to reach the people who wanted to hear what I had to say.
So take me back from the transition from Marine to your own business. How did you know where you wanted to start and what your like zone of genius was?
Yeah, I didn't. That's the truth. You are not going to know directly where you start. And if you do, then you're probably going to end up changing it, right? It's a flowing thing, but be open to that. One of the techniques that I work with my students is saying is this, right? Grab a post-it pad, some the little post-it notes, and give yourself 2 minutes on a clock, a timer on your cell phone, whatever. And whenever that 2 minutes starts, you write down any and everything you want to do. Don't think, does not matter. Just write down. If you wanted to be a baker, if you wanted to go fishing, write it down. After that 2 minutes and that beeper goes off and the sound says, now you take those post-it notes. If you've got 10, 20, does not matter. Put them on a mirror. Now you're looking at yourself. Now give yourself 30 seconds. Now 30 seconds, take down everyone that does not ring to your heart. When you look at the name, if it does not make you smile or whatever, take it down. Now, when 30 seconds is done, whatever you got left is where you can start to kind of figure out, this is my passion. What would you talk about if no one else was to ever listen? Would you still talk about it?
Ooh, that was deep.
I got chills on that one.
I feel like a lot of people, when they're thinking about starting a business, they know they want to do something. But I think a lot of times they think their passion isn't a business, or the thing that, you know, they don't really know how to craft it in a way that will provide value to anybody else. And so I see a lot of people sort of walk away from a dream or a direction because they just don't have the confidence that anybody would want to hear it from them, or you know, there's the imposter syndrome. There's a whole bunch of reasons why somebody lets fear kind of get in the way of dreaming bigger than the box that they are very, that they are aware of. How do you handle that? Yeah. How do you help them?
Yes. Imposter syndrome, having that feeling. I get it. There are many people who go through that, but I would tell you, and I show them sometimes, right, that there are people out there who took a passion or something that they were really in love with, and they made that business because they loved it. People will be attracted to your positivity, to your energy. There's a gentleman, two kind of stories I show and tell about. There's a gentleman whose YouTube made a business out of teaching people how to drill holes in a wall. That's all he does. He does not do anything else. You would think, wait a second, people watch videos on how to drill holes. He didn't teach you how to build. He didn't teach you, you know, how to saw. It is simply how to drill holes. And he's got tons of followers in the business from that. And there's a young kid, I think he just turned 9. He has a business in which he reviews toys. That's it.
Oh, wow.
I like this toy. I don't like it. Here's why I don't like it. And his parents help him out, of course. And they did an interview and they were talking about it. And he has tons of YouTube followers. He's a millionaire, actually. But because he enjoys it and people see the smile, people will react to your energy. Mm-hmm. Trust me, there's a subject matter out there for everyone.
I've seen it. So, you know, where are you now with your business and what are your next steps?
So we are now in the process of working to scale, right? You always get to a point where you're like, okay, here we are. We set this goal. We got there, right? We reached, for example, like our 6-figure mark. And so now we're like stagnant because anyone out there, I'm telling you, grab a coach, grab a mentor. You can do it by yourself, but it may take you a lot longer. Try to go to U2 University if you would like. It's going to take you a lot longer. So we listened to our coach and when our coach told us. And so we started to see the progress and we got to 6 figures. And now we're figuring, how do we go further? And then one thing that my mentor said to me, because I was like, I don't want to forget the knowledge that, you know, I'm gaining, is she said, teach. If you show someone else how to do what you're doing, your passion will stay with you. And then you will remember the material. So now we're working to now open up courses that we can start to teach people how to get to where we're at. Because someone out there was afraid like we were. Someone out there is thinking, I would love to do that. And maybe it's not even necessarily the money. They just want to do it for a hobby or they want to do it for an interest. That's fine. But if you're going to be a hobbyist, be the best hobbyist that you can be. Don't come in this just to say, well, I'm going to do it for a hobby, because then you're not really doing it.
Right.
You got to still want to love and do it. So we're working to scale to another level in our coaching business and teaching others how to get to where we are at. Notice I didn't say teaching you how to make 6 figures or teaching you how to make money and all that. That's going to come from you. But if you get the groundwork and foundation of how to do it, then the rest is on you.
I love, it's you and your wife that run the business together.
Yes.
I love that choice. Obviously that's not a choice everyone will make, but I think the coolest thing about creating and redesigning your life is doing it in a way that aligns with your core values and who you are.
Yeah.
So what is that like for the two of you to be able to achieve this goal together?
It is probably one of, and almost besides just doing it together, probably one of the best things that I think we both get out of, but I know for a fact that I do, is that we are showing our son how a couple, how people can work together. We have our disagreements, we have our, you know, whatever arguments, but we never come at that point of hurt, right? We always come at let's resolve this situation. And matter of fact, our son, we have I almost said the A-L-E-X-A word, and you would have heard the whole house light up.
Forget it, mine too.
he sent us an announcement the other day. We were sleeping on a weekend. He said, wake up, lovebirds.
Aww.
And that was such an enjoyable moment for us because we know each other's strengths and we know our weaknesses. And I know where hers are. And I'm like, babe, handle us. Please do the design. And they're in a process right now of those two writing a kid's book. And I love because he sees us doing it. So he has that entrepreneurial mindset. And he came to us and said, Mom, I want to write a book. And I was like, let's do it. And
I
she's
love
like,
it.
she started researching it, and then they were on a couch and they started writing a book because he has ADHD.
Yeah.
And so his book, and he has a podcast that's called ADHD is My Superpower. So we encourage him speaking on that. So I think by him seeing us work together as a team, it kind of goes down into where he's starting to learn and he wants more from it. And that goes into the last thing I say on this is that I truly believe that whenever someone says, oh, we have a generational curse and this is why this, no, you don't. There's no one who sat down and got a big pot and threw some Eye of Newt and some frog tails in a pot and whipped up a curse for you and your family. It's generational choices, right?
Yeah.
Generational choices were made and they were passed down, but you can change it. That's why I'm saying rethink out of the box. You can wear white after Labor Day. I don't know why they tell you can't.
That's funny. Yeah. Make your own rules. Well, when you were
Right.
crafting what your life was going to look like in the second phase after your after being a Marine, how did you do that? Were you looking at the buckets of your life that you would like to fill, or was it just I know I'd like to kind of go in this direction. How did that work?
So when I first started getting that process, I was lost. I didn't know. Because my whole 20 plus years almost, I was, told what to do in a structured environment. When that time came, I'm like, what do I do? I don't know. My wife's like, find a hobby, find something to do, right?
Was
I
there
tried.
fear in that, or was there freedom in that when
No.
you finally realized?
There was fear. It was
Yeah.
big time fear because I felt like I was gonna kind of drown in a way. I felt like now what am I going to do? Right. Yeah, I'm retired and people, but I'm young. I'm still in my 40s. But one of the great things about the service, you get to retire young. But I'm always a person that embraces fear in essence. I say, we're in it now, my favorite saying, right? We're in it now. There's no turning back, right? That's kind of the Marine Corps mentality. Go forward. So I was like, well, I'm afraid. And then my wife says, just try different things. And that's what I did. But I said, I'm a dabble in a few things, but something that I really enjoyed, I gave myself a time period. I'm going to
Okay.
give it my all for a year. And if I enjoy it during that time frame or after that year, then I'll continue doing it or I may look at something else. So it wasn't a, well, I'll just try it. I dabbled and I was okay with that. But if I really wanted to do it, like we tried a lot of things. We tried photography business because I like photography. We tried a baking business. My wife loved baking cupcakes and all kind of things. And it didn't pan out because it wasn't true to our core. And then one day my wife just said, what do you love doing? And I said, I love teaching. No matter kind of what it is. I was a scuba diver and I loved teaching other people. I didn't get a license or anything, but I just loved talking about it, right? And teaching. And so, okay, cool. Let's find something that you can teach that you love. And it kind of just kind of spun from that.
I think it's so interesting that you said you were looking for something that you enjoyed, because I don't think a lot of people understand the value in that. I mean, for me, there's if that's a huge guide. If I'm doing something and it feels more like a chore consistently, then that brings me more joy. Like if that balance shifts too much, like I'm out. I will not live like that. I think that's really, really cool that you kind of use that as your guide.
Yeah, we lived in Japan for 6 years, and one of the things that they talk about is feeling the happiness in your home, for example, right? Go to your when you're in your house, pick up an item, and if it doesn't make you smile or bring you joy, then you don't need it. If
Yes.
we're cleaning our home and we find something in the house and it's like, what is this? I haven't seen this in a year. I don't need it. Why? What, it's not doing anything. It's not bringing me joy. And so yeah, that's exactly what you said.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. And you did it with your career. Okay. This paperweight, I don't need anymore. This career, isn't serving me. So, what can I do next? That's amazing. And I love that you're teaching your son this. What a beautiful gift you're giving to him, and the way you're able to have this really beautiful family unit thrive together. And I don't believe there's a real big division between when people say work-life balance. I always question, like, well, why does there have to be a separation? You know, can it all exist together? Can you all be working towards, you know, whatever it is together? So I love that you've created that.
Yeah, and it's definitely possible because, here's the one thing that I really push and I really want to work towards getting people to understand is it is our choice, right? But it's ingrained in us because of our societal thinking. Because when we lived in Japan and Rome and Europe, right, it is placed of a mentality that they take vacations, long vacations, and they enjoy life. When we in Rome, people were drinking at 3 a.m. Like, they got to go to work in 3 hours, but they want to live. And so I adopted this mentality of live while you're alive, right? Enjoy the food, bite, chew, savor, because we're short, right? And enjoy those moments. It's our choice. And a small question I'll ask to anyone listening, I want you to really put this in your mentality, right? Imagine that you have your favorite food, whatever it is, it could be whatever it is, doesn't matter. And if you're sitting at a table that is with some strangers, you don't know too many of them, let's just say 5 people. If someone were to blow on your food, not anything gross or nasty, but they just, when they blew on it, what would you do with that food? Most people, a high percentage, 98% of people say, oh, I won't eat it. I'll throw it away. No, they can have it. And I say, take that same scenario and just put a birthday cake there and that person blows on it. What do? You eat the cake. They did the same exact thing, but society told you that you can't have that work-life balance. You can't do this. You can't eat that food. No, you can. You just have to choose to. Oh, don't get me started. Listen, okay.
Well, I think that's a super important message, is that everything is a choice and there's nothing you can't choose to work towards. And it sounds like you have really figured out the pivot when something doesn't feel good, when it's not working out, not being afraid to take another step or try something else. So I definitely commend you on that.
Yeah, you got to. It's like that episode where Ross said, pivot.
Yes.
Pivot.
Yes.
And it doesn't mean you're a failure, right? That's another thing that we talk about is society says, if you do that, you don't stay this length of time, then you're a failure. No, it just didn't work.
When I was creating my design business 20 years ago, I had a vision of what it was going to be only because that was the vision I was told it should be. And then when I realized that this doesn't fit the way I want to live my life, I had to get really uncomfortable or comfortable with being uncomfortable in creating something that I didn't see a model for. And 20 years later, immense success. And in a way that I'm allowed to, you know, kind of create my own schedule, work with people I love, choose clients very selectively. I get to be with my kids when I want to. And when, you know, we travel and we're taking them to Italy again in April, I always think your career should be designed around your life and not your life around your career. And it seems like that's exactly what you're doing.
Yes. And that's what it is, because when this time is up, I want legacy. My son will tell you, we have a few sayings and we'll say them to him sometimes. And I go, Abba, man, what does that mean? He said, always be branding, always, right? Always tell people about your business. Always tell them about what you do. Because people tell you, you can't say you won an award. You have to be humble. Why?
No way.
Who says so? Right? They beat you down if you're humble. I tell, make memories over money. If you're making memories, the money will come. Right? Yeah. I want you to be 35 years old and say, this is the pond that my dad took us to. This is the beach that we used to go to as a kid. I want those fond memories, right? Build it with your family. And 3 F's, that's my 3 initials. If they don't fit in my 3 F's, then it doesn't really matter to me. If you don't fit, if you do not feed me, if you do not finance me, or if you're not fornicating with me, I don't care what you think. Why?
That's amazing.
Oh, I don't like that business you're about to start. Okay.
Yeah.
That's my saying. Okay.
Yep. Yeah. I think it was Mel Robbins was talking about this let them theory, where, you know, you're just letting people have, you have no attachment to their feelings, their thoughts around something, their judgment, it's theirs, and just let them, who cares, moving on.
Right.
How do you work with people? How can people work with you? What kind of programs or do you have?
Yeah. So currently I'm in a boot camp right now, learning how to kind of formulate a new program right now. And so that's what I'm really excited about doing. So we have two groups that we primarily do. We have a, it's called Redesign Your Life. It's on Facebook. It's a, an open group, and it's dedicated to people who want positivity, people who want to just kind of shoot ideas to each other and say, hey, what do you think about this? How can I format? It's a networking kind of a thing. And then we also have Bringing Creators Together. It's for podcasting and networkers who come in, and we bring in coaches and we teach and we network. So people can reach me directly at lion@lionflood.com. lion@lionflud.com is the best way to reach me. That's my email, or through any one of those groups as well. All my social medias are at Black Negus, BLKNEGUS, which means Black royalty, Black king, through the Ethiopian language. Those are places that people can reach me directly as well. And then we're going to be putting out the course, which is about content creation and how to be on screen and how to in voice inflection, right? To slow your speech down, speed it up sometimes, make people enjoyable. If you're talking to them, maybe I want to slow down and tell a story and be more impactful. Maybe I want to soften my voice because I really want you to kind of draw into it a little bit more. Maybe I want you to get excited about the group and I want to bring up my little things like that.
Yeah.
That's how we teach.
Awesome. All right. Well, we'll definitely share all your links in the show notes. And I so appreciate you being on the show today. I love your story and I couldn't wait to share it with the audience. So thank you so much for being here.
Hey, I want to thank all of you unicorns out there. That's my unicorn. There you go. That's my unicorn. Thank you, all you unicorns out there.
Thank you.